Hey everybody, Scott and Deb here. Happy New Year.
It is Happy New Year.
Can you believe that? This is Redeemed Through His Blood. Scott and Deborah Durfee here as always. We just want to welcome you. I'm just going to mention this, and probably we're not going to beat this up and talk about it a lot, but you can find us on social media. We'd appreciate it if you'd like it and share it and follow it. We get as much word about the podcast out as we can, but only if it's helping you. We appreciate that. If it's not helping you, I'm not sure why you're still listening.
Push stop.
But you're listening.
Find another one.
I know that it is. And if you have suggestions, questions, ever, anything like that, don't forget that you can reach us at heredeemsus@gmail.com. So, Deb.
Yes, sir.
Here we are, New Year. How are those New Year resolutions coming for you?
I don't set them.
We talked about that, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. I call it a new beginning, and I have a new beginning every single day when the sun comes up.
Yeah, I've loved this new beginning concept. Several folks that I know and work with closely in Alcoholics Anonymous, for example, are kind of doing a new beginning, you know, working the steps again and having just a cool experience. I talked to a fella today that has been doing that and just had a great experience so far, as he's been kind of working through the steps again. It's been fun. New beginning.
I always liked self-help stuff. I mean, anything I can help physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. I always look for areas that I can, improve in, but it doesn't have to be January 1st or 6th or 12th, or it can just be any day of the year for me. But yeah. I actually do love, but it just seems like there's more availability. I mean, there's a lot more available this time of year. So it's like, ooh, I want to read that book. Ooh, I want to listen to that podcast. Oh, I want to go try that bike, that exercise bike. Oh, I wanted to go. Yeah, just whatever.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of different things I want to try out and see if I can self-improve or enjoy something more in my life.
You know, as we move into a new year, Deb, I got to be honest with you. You know, we started the Christmas season with receiving Him. You know, we talked about receiving Him. We talked about how when we do, it changes our lives, makes everything better. And we've done this for years. You know, you and I have taught this, and we've taught Jesus Christ and His atonement. Jesus Christ and His atonement for years now, in Institute and now here on the podcast and other ways. And we have an opportunity to talk about the solution to all of our problems, right? Him. And not my words, but President Nelson and many, many others, and my words, sure. But what happens when you're doing all the right things and, you believe in Him, you're doing what you can to follow Him, you're praying, you're going to church, you're doing your come follow me stuff, but what if you don't feel Him close to you? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so let me give you some, examples. So you and I have experienced a lot of death recently, A very close friend of mine's sweet wife passed away, and another very close friend of mine passed away from an overdose. And we had a brother-in-law whose mother just passed away yesterday. And that's not all. I mean,
one of my employees.
That's right. Yeah, was actually, yeah. So there's just been so much of that. And when that seems to be around, I don't know. I have felt really kind of heavy through the holidays. Right. Even when we're talking about, and I don't think we came right out and say this, but I think the implication was there that, you know what, Scott, if you're not feeling Jesus, it's your fault. And I think I feel crazy that we said that or feel like that was an implication. We probably didn't say that, but it might have been an implication. But what do you do when you believe in Him and you're not feeling Him? You know, I'm not rebelling. I didn't walk away. I'm still praying. I still believe. You know, is that hypocrisy? Seriously, I mean, I feel like a hypocrite. I teach all this stuff and it's like, Scott, your life's a mess this week.
Well, sometimes knowing is just not enough.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't think people talk about this very much.
No. I think there's a lot of us that, know and we believe, and but when we can't feel the Spirit or see, you know, there's times that I kneel down at night, or I even close my eyes to pray, and I have to take a few deep breaths to remember who I'm talking to. You know, it's just like we live in a noisy, fast, busy world.
Amen.
And when I talk to Heavenly Father, when I say my prayers, I want it to be intentional and slow and deliberate so I can feel. And there are often times I don't feel. It's like, okay, you know, let's slow it down a little bit more. Because I know God doesn't go in Deb speed. I mean, he probably thinks you are chaotic and crazy lady. Like, who wants to go that hard and fast for so long? It's bananas. So I think sometimes we expect emotional confirmation to be constant.
So that's kind of an indict. I'm not saying you're indicting me, but I feel indicted by that comment, because you know why? It's true for me. You know, when I expect emotional confirmation, I want it to be all the time.
Yeah.
I want validation, spiritual validation all the time.
Yeah. You know, when you feel that Spirit just overwhelm and you just feel it, it's like, that's what I want. And that's what I'm seeking for. Every time I kneel down, every time I go to the temple, when I partake of the sacrament, when I seek for spiritual things, I want to feel that. And I don't all the time.
Not every time.
No.
Yeah.
And so I often think that sometimes that silence or that heaviness gets misread as, I'm doing something wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not fervent enough in my praying. I'm not fervent enough in my scripture study. I haven't attended the temple enough times this month. So it's like I go to the checklist. Yeah. I seriously do.
Right. Back to earning his grace. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But back to kind of earning his grace. And you know what, Deb? That's actually when I start feeling all that, when I start thinking all that, the accuser pops right into me. Right in my head. And he starts whispering, quiet. Oh, Scott, you're such a hypocrite. Oh, Scott, you know, you say this, but you live this way. I mean, come on. You know, what's going on? You're a hypocrite, Scott.
You teach this, but you feel that.
Right. Right. So, yeah, but what I have realized and come to realize, and I've really spent some time with this today and yesterday and a little bit over the last several days. But what I've really come to realize, Deb, that, you know, it's not hypocrisy just because we struggle with what we believe.
True that.
It's not hypocrisy, but hypocrisy, in my mind, when I think about hypocrisy from a lens that I think through the lens of the atonement of Jesus Christ, what I believe now is that hypocrisy is pretending that I don't need him. That it's up to me to earn it. Yeah, exactly. You know, hypocrisy means I don't need Jesus because I don't believe that the fall was part of God's intended plan for my happiness, for my salvation.
Yeah. Even though you know, you act like you don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I default to that. You know, the accuser. The accuser.
Yeah. Just because we struggle doesn't disqualify us from his Spirit or from his gifts or from, you know, it's like sometimes he likes to let us sit in our mud for a little while or dirt. You know, that's sometimes where I learn and I hate it there.
Unfortunately, I don't know if it's unfortunate. I think that there's some intent there.
For sure.
Honestly, you know, I think we all struggle.
You know what? I always go back to a child. I think of a little tiny child learning how to put a puzzle together.
Okay.
And they're trying to put this star in this heart shape. And they're struggling and struggling and struggling. And it's like, how long do you allow them to struggle, or do you just do it for them? And, you know, we have a God that will not violate our agency. And until we ask, and, you know, I think of a child, an innocent child sitting on the floor putting this star in this heart space. And until the child hands me the piece or looks at me like, help, you know, that's when I think we would get help, is when we ask.
Yeah, I love that.
And I think he's just waiting for us to ask. Because we do struggle, and we sit in our mess, and we sit and try to figure it out, and I'll try it this way, and I'll try it over this side, and under this side, and on the other side, and you know, there's I catch myself often trying to do stuff myself.
Have you ever felt disqualified from God's love or God's grace because of a struggle? While you were in a struggle, maybe? I have. I have. Yeah, I definitely have. I have felt like sometimes, and maybe this is a little bit even recently, I have felt like, and sometimes still feel like, that when I'm struggling, I'm disqualified. You know, I don't mean completely disqualified. I just mean disqualified from having the Spirit with me because I'm struggling. God must be mad at me, or God must want something more for me to, be, I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but to have pain and to go through those things. I sometimes forget that just because I'm struggling doesn't mean I'm disqualified.
Yeah.
Does that make sense at all?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think, you know, also, I mean, not only feeling like you're disqualified, but I think sometimes when I don't feel the Spirit, I feel like I'm rebelling. Like, I feel like, not necessarily rebelling, but it's like,
what did I do wrong?
Excuse my word, but it's like, screw it, I'm not going to try then.
Right.
It's like, gull, you know, it's like, I can't feel anything anyways. I'm emotionless. Maybe that's my menopause. Maybe that's that mature years that we get to go into. I don't know.
That would be easier for me to buy into if it were only women that felt that way, but it's not.
Yeah.
I felt that way.
Maybe you're going through menopause.
Yeah, whatever. I think it's just a manifestation of the fall of Adam and Eve.
For sure.
Right?
For sure.
Anyway, the struggle's real. That's the bottom line. The struggle is real.
There was a General Relief Society or Young Women's or Primary Presidency that talked in general conference, and she talked about how for a long time she struggled to feel the Spirit, and she had gone through, I don't know if it was depression or some challenging times, and she struggled to feel the Spirit, and she thought that Heavenly Father had abandoned her and thought that he had, you know, left her alone, and she just pleaded and kept, you know, praying. And again, you know, sometimes, you know, sitting in our mess or sitting in our emotionless with no emotion or, you know, flatness or funk, sometimes sitting in it is part of the plan. And I think it's important for us to remember that we're not broken. It's okay. Just give ourselves some grace.
I agree with all of that. And I'm also grateful that you've taught me that and you remind me of that over and over and over again when I need it. Because sometimes, Deb, this head just gets in charge. It's the human mind. It's the fallen mind for me.
Sure.
Right? I know I'm not alone, but I know that I have felt like God's been mad at me. I know that I have felt like God's not healing me fast enough. So, you know, what the heck, you know, and all of those things, rather than just sitting in it and asking him also to come sit in it with me. But none of this surprises him.
No.
You know, I love, and we go to the scripture a lot, but none of this surprises him. When I go to Alma chapter 7, verse 10, I normally start with 11, but I'm going to start with 10 because we're so close still to Christmas. And behold, he shall be born, of course, talking of Jesus, of Mary at Jerusalem, which is the land of our forefathers. She being a virgin, precious and chosen vessel, who shall be overshadowed and conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost, and bring forth a son. Yea, even the Son of God. That alone gives me hope. Just the Son of God, just knowing that he's coming. But that hope intensifies. In fact, that hope, if I allow it to through the Spirit, becomes not just intensified, but sanctified through the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. When I understand in verse 11 that he shall go forth suffering pains and afflictions and temptations of every single kind.
Yeah.
It doesn't say every single, but every kind. But that's an all-inclusive. That's all-encompassing. Nothing is left out. Every right. single kind. And there's, you know, Jesus knew about the stuff that we would deal with. We haven't vended anything that he forgot about or happened to leave out while he was
there.
I
think this is an important piece because I think so many times we hear, I'm grateful for the atonement and that he forgives my sins. That's not all the atonement's for. I mean, when it says that he has suffered pains and afflictions and temptations of every kind. There is nothing he is leaving out, whether it's that emotional funk or that no emotion, or I can't feel the spirit right now for 2 years, or I'm feeling a lot of death around me and I don't like how this feels. It's starting to feel surreal. He has felt all of that.
Yeah.
Every kind. And I think it's so important to remember that the atonement was not just for our sins, but our afflictions and our pains. All of it. Temptations. Think about the atonement and temptations. He suffered that.
I mean, suffering pains and afflictions and temptations of every kind, that the word might be fulfilled, which saith he will take upon him the pains and the sicknesses of his people.
Yep, there you go. Even more pains and sickness.
All the sicknesses, not just physical, but mental, emotional, anything that separates us from the Spirit of the Holy Ghost is, I will term, a sickness. And he has suffered for that. He has suffered for that separation. He has suffered for that distance. He has suffered for that gap that we often and sometimes and often feel when we're in that. And he will take upon him death, that he may loose the bands of death which bind his people, and he will take upon him their infirmities. Why? That his bowels may be filled with mercy according to the flesh, that he may know according to the flesh how to succor his people according to their infirmities.
That should put you in a state of thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Jesus.
It should.
Yeah.
It should, but does it? Maybe not always, but it has. But I will tell you this. You know, having that scripture it afloat in my mind has created a space that didn't allow panic, right?
Sure.
And it didn't allow overwhelming feelings of despair or depression. And I'm not saying that if you're feeling that you're missing. That's the whole point of this podcast, is just because sometimes we're not feeling it doesn't mean it's there. But he did. He suffered it. And he's going to sit with me and be with me as I go through it. Pain, sicknesses, infirmities, according to the flesh, that he would know how to succor us.
Succor means nearness before progress. What I mean by that is succor means he is going to... I mean, I think of a child being nursed. A suckling child.
Yeah.
That mom is going to protect and be with them, nurture and succor them.
Yeah.
He will be with us before, during, and after. He will be with us. And it's not predicated on where we are and what we're doing.
Right. That's, I think, the point, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. He is there no matter what.
I do believe that the more closely we align with him, the more... probable, or the better situation we put ourselves into to have the Spirit administer the blessings of Christ's atonement in our lives. But he nonetheless will succor us even before we begin to make any progress.
Even when we're feeling nothing.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, he's succoring us. That's true.
Yeah.
So what does it feel like in real life?
Yeah.
Like when we're feeling the emotional flatness or that funk,
yeah.
What does it feel like when he's succoring me now and I'm not feeling?
Well, the one thing I know from Alma 7 and everything else that we've talked about, you know, if I'm worried about progress, if I'm worried about earning, if I'm worried about are my prayers proper, if I'm worried about
praying enough,
yeah, all sure. That, you know, the mentality that we often find ourselves in, but if that's my focus, I'm really focusing on the transaction. I'm looking for a transaction.
A vending machine.
Yeah, yeah.
Put something in and want something out.
Exactly. But if I visit Christ in Gethsemane, and I go there in my mind, in my heart, in my meditation, in my prayer, I go there and I be with him as he went through what he went through, so that he could be with me to go through what I went through. I think of how it must have been for him. You know, that was heavy for him. That was sorrowful for him. I have felt heaviness. I have felt a little bit sorrow. It would be inappropriate for me to compare it to what he went through, but he knows what I went through.
Yeah, for sure.
Because he went through that. He had that heaviness. He had that sorrow. He even asked Heavenly Father, if it be possible, please take this away from me.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
But the burden wasn't lifted. Heavenly Father didn't lift Christ's burden. Sometimes he's not going to lift my burden, but what did he do? He sent strength, right?
Yeah, he strengthens him.
Yeah.
Gives him the strength to get through it. I think it's important to remember how the critical piece of this is all about a relationship, not a transaction.
And sometimes that relationship just means I'm just there, or he's just there with me, even when it's difficult,
yeah,
even when it's rainy, even when it's dark, even when it's foreboding, even when there's despair.
That reminds me of a story at my dad's funeral. My cousin's husband, he was married to my cousin Sue. She passed away at 23, left a 4-month-old baby and a 3-year-old little girl, 4-year-old little girl, I don't know. Anyways, and he was in despair. He was mourning and frustrated and mad and just like you can only imagine. And he told me right after, he said to me, he says, right after Sue died, I was so just in despair that he was living with his mom at the time. And he says, I left the kids in there and I just went out in the field behind her house and I just started running. And it was raining and it was just terrible. And he goes, and I was crying. And I ran until I was exhausted and I stood up against a fence. I'm going to cry telling you this story. And he said, your dad came up and stood by me. He said, Ron, you don't have to be here. And he turns to him and he says, neither do you. I'm just here with you. That was such an impactful story for me because that is what he does for me. And when I'm in my sorrow and I'm in my grief, yeah, that he will sit beside me. And he's not necessarily there to fix it at that moment or whatever, and maybe never fix it, but give me strength to know I'm not alone. And I think it's important to remember that. That story has stuck with me in my heart, just how much it meant to him. My dad wasn't there to fix anything. He was just there to be with him in his despair and his sorrow and his grief.
To me, Deb, that's really grace. You know, you're, and I knew your dad and quite well, and that's how he was. You know, there are people sometimes that are really an emulation of the Savior in certain aspects. And that night and that day, he did. I remember Rocky telling us about that, and he just wept as he told us. He didn't need words. He didn't need advice. He didn't even need somebody to touch him and hug him and hold him. That's not his style. He just needed somebody to be with him. But you know what, but you know what Rocky had the ability to do? Accept it and acknowledge it and be welcoming to it, and that helps us too.
Well, and again, help doesn't always feel like relief. It just is knowing that you're not alone.
Yeah, right.
And in, you know, in enduring. I mean, when sometimes we don't give ourselves any grace when we go through challenges and hard things and, you know, death and watching people we love and care about bury their wife and, you know, their mother and their father or their friend or whatever. It's it's like, just give ourselves, you know, we need to give ourselves some grace that just getting through day to day, there's heavy stuff, hard stuff. And I know all of our listeners are going through hard things too. Challenges, you know, of all kinds.
Yeah. You know, and also when I look at grace, sometimes I'm thinking, you know, grace, Heavenly Father has grace, or Jesus Christ has grace for me. You know, he has grace for my sin. He has grace for my lack. He has grace for my whatever the manifestation of the fallen of Scott Durfee comes through. He has grace for that. What I sometimes forget to remember is that when I'm in something, sometimes he has grace with me. And that's what I have felt. You know, I haven't been super bounce off the walls, gregarious, you know, go out of my way to, you know, run across the street and introduce myself to a stranger, kind of friendly and all that other stuff lately. But I haven't necessarily been battling depression either. But what I have known is that his grace was actually been with me. So it's not only about God doing something for us that we could do for ourselves. Sometimes it really just kind of, I don't know, looks like God doing something more like with us that I can't do alone. Yeah. Right.
Just like my dad sat with Rocky.
Yeah.
I'm just here
just
for you.
Just didn't have to be alone.
Yeah.
It doesn't wait for me to be ready.
Yeah. And I think the hard thing is we don't always see the Spirit.
Right.
We have to seek it. Yeah. Oftentimes receiving the Spirit, receiving Jesus Christ, can be quiet and a still moment, and good luck finding a still moment. And even consent over confidence.
What do you mean by consent over confidence? So you mean like allowing him?
I think it's willing. I think it's, and maybe I should say willingness.
Yeah. Yeah. Willing.
I think sometimes that's my prayer. Lord, I'm willing. I'm just not feeling.
Yeah. You know what? Sometimes I'm not willing.
Yeah.
And so sometimes my prayer is, Heavenly Father, just give me the willingness to be willing.
Yeah.
That's a fair prayer.
That is a fair prayer.
Yeah, that's a fair prayer. Had I not had that prayer,
it's authentic and raw.
In the very beginning of my recovery journey, I'm not sure that I would have made it. I just needed the blessing of willingness.
Yeah, it's a covenant word.
Yeah, it's a covenant word. Where do we hear it most?
Every week when we hear the sacrament, be blessed that right. They may be willing to take upon. You know, and I think about the word willing a lot because I'm like, you know, I know I'm not alone, but I often feel like, oh, this is so redundant and repetitive. And so, but Heavenly Father, I am willing. I really am willing. And sometimes I'm more willing than others, but I am for the most part willing.
That's a powerful word. Mm-hmm. And it's a powerful concept, this willingness, right? So when I think about willingness, I think about all the stuff that you just said. But where it originated, I think, or grew roots for me is in recovery. The third step of AA is we were willing to turn our will and our life over to the care of God as we understand Him. Willing. Just to kind of maybe shift direction, not really shift direction, but to maybe change the way we talk about it for just a minute, Dub. When I think of these things, and I know we've addressed this talk before, but it holds a little extra sentiment for me because of Elder Holland's passing recently, right? But I think about his talk that he gave laborers in the vineyard from April 2012. I have a little piece of that that I want to play again. I know we've played it before. The impact, I think, is nonetheless still equally important.
However late you think you are, however many chances you think you've missed, however many mistakes you feel you've made, or talents you think you don't have, or distance from home and family and God you feel you have traveled, I testify that you have not traveled beyond the reach of divine love. It is not possible for you to sink lower than the infinite light of Christ's atonement shines.
That never grows old for me, Deb.
No, me either.
Those
such
truths,
a message of hope.
And it just eternal truths, mm-hmm. right? Just eternal truths. I know that we all get tripped up. I know that regardless of our covenant relationship, regardless of our ability to keep all the commandments, regardless of any of that, we're all just in dire need. But we never go that far. I have never gone too
beyond
far.
Yeah, no.
And he's just waiting for an invitation to sit with me.
Well, just a reminder, weariness is not abandonment. You're not too far gone, not behind schedule, not disqualified by discouragement. And feeling distant from Christ does not mean Christ is distant from you. That's the part of the covenant relationship I love, because I'm not perfect at it, but He is.
And I'm so excited because we have a lot of examples of that very thing in the Old Testament. Wow. And as we begin our study of Come Follow Me in the Old Testament this year, Jeremiah, Hosea, there's so many places where we see Heavenly Father, we see Jehovah, rather, right?
Yeah.
The God of the New Testament, Jesus Christ, Jehovah, pursuing those who have sinned to the end. And we'll get to see that in our own lives if we just allow it. You know, he's just waiting for us to invite him in to align with it.
Well, he's not going to violate our agency. I have to remember that. I'm saying that out loud for me.
Right.
Because it's like, I just, because I always tell them, I'm willing, I want you with me, I want you with me, that it's just an ongoing invitation that I want you with me, forgetting that I have agency, and he knows that.
Right.
And I need to ask for what I want, and I need to be specific. And I'm not really good at that.
At staying specific, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm very general.
Yeah.
I'm very general when I ask. Well, where you are isn't permanent, and grace works at human pace. So, and you know what reminds me of that saying, in the end, everything will be okay. And if it's not okay, it's not the end.
Yeah. You know, when so often, and I think I've said this and probably beaten it up a lot, but you know, so often when I think about Christ being with me, sometimes receiving him doesn't push away all darkness.
No.
Sometimes, you know, and we think of the opposite because we know that he is light, and we know that all light comes from him, and that where he is, there can't be darkness. But sometimes when we feel, and that's a physical darkness, but sometimes when we feel that emotional and mental darkness, he can still be with us.
Yeah,
he can still be with us. So sometimes it's not about just letting him, or not about him chasing away the light, but just allowing him to sit with us or be with us when it's dark in our lives.
It's true.
It's important for us to remember that Jesus Christ succored us because he suffered. Grace works with us, not necessarily ahead of us. We need to remember that, right?
Yeah.
I have to keep that in my mind. And if all I can do right now is to just stay, that might actually absolutely be the most honest way that I can receive him right now.
Yeah.
Just to stay, right? So it's okay to do that.
And be willing.
And willingness, obviously, the key that turns the ability for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And creates that invitation.
Well, just as a reminder, you're not failing and you're not alone. We're here with you, loud and proud.
You got that right. Well, I think that, you know, this is an important topic for us to consider and to sit with and be with throughout this week. And as we begin a new week, because, you know, we have begun a new year. We talked last week about new beginnings. This week, we talk about the real life story. And we're going to experience both. Let's continue in our new beginning. Let's continue to receive him. Let's continue to let him walk with us, even when we don't feel like we need to walk with him. I know he's there, and he's in my life. He's been in my life, even though it's been a little bit cloudy emotionally lately.
Yeah. And I think it's important to give ourselves some grace, you know, when we're not feeling it or we're not, you know, participating the way we feel like, because I put expectations on myself. And if I'm not feeling it the way that I think that I should feel it, I need to remember to give myself some grace. It's all in divine order. God's in charge. That's not my will. Thanks for being with us, everyone. We love you. We appreciate your support. And until next time.
Thanks for being with us, everybody. We'll look forward to being with you again next week. And until then, be well.